I'm Laura Hunsberger for South Carolina Public Radio. Today I'm talking with Marilyn Gray, chair of the St. Vincent de Paul South Carolina Disaster Relief Program. I'm also joined by Dr. Elizabeth Medlock, founder and director of the Palmetto Project Community Flood Hub. Over the past year, I've been following their work to provide furniture to families affected by the 2015 floods. Right after the floods, the South Carolina Vincentians launched a program called House in a Box with support from the National St. Vincent de Paul Disaster Services. But with several disasters across the country in 2016, the National House in a Box program had to pull out of the state. When I last talked with Marilyn Gray this past fall, the South Carolina Vincentians were trying to finish the work the program started. So Marilyn, tell me what happened next.
At the end of October, we actually closed down our House in a Box warehouse, and we moved our caseworkers to my office, where they worked out of a cubicle with a phone and a computer, and they were able to continue contacting clients who needed help. And it seemed like our prayers were answered as we prayed for some more funds. We got checks in from as far as Texas for $8,000 and $9,000. We also got $8,500 from a local church in Lexington that heard about us. And right before Christmas, the SC1 called us and they awarded us a $50,000 grant to help 50 families in Colleton and in the coastal areas, in the coastal flood areas. So it was almost like we moved and everything fell into place and our caseworkers had people lined up and ready to go.
And you had your caseworkers through the end of the year, right?
Their last day was December 31st.
Why is it that you had to move out of the warehouse?
We did not have the funds to pay for the warehouse and the upkeep of the warehouse, so we had to move out at that point in time.
How did the model have to change? Because without National House in a Box, how did you go about getting furniture and distributing it?
When we were at the warehouse, we were buying in bulk and storing it, and people were coming and picking up furniture. But once we had to move out of the warehouse and move our caseworkers to an office situation, we didn't have that option anymore. And Dr. Elizabeth Medlock put us on to a different model, which worked really well for us. We actually had our clients qualified, and we went through FSI to get the furniture.
FSI is Furniture Services Incorporated.
And Southern Bedding to get the mattresses and bedding. And FSI actually coordinated picking up the furniture, getting the furniture from them, and then going and picking up the bedding and delivering it to our clients. So we were able to move very quickly once we got a client qualified. And my caseworkers were able to meet with the clients. They went out in the field and met with the clients and then met with some of them at the office.
And was this from the same group of people that you had qualified in your initial rounds with House in a Box?
It was. And some of the people that we helped in November and December were people that we actually had gone to their homes or their locations in February and registered them. Their homes are now getting done. We are now getting the money together and the program together, so we were able to finally help them.
And by the numbers, about how many were you able to help?
We helped about 380 families. And 83 of those families we did in November and December.
Would you say there were a lot of full households you had to furnish or partial households? How did it shake out?
It depended on the families. We had some clients who only needed one or two things, and some clients needed a whole household. We had more than one family that we would call and talk to the client, and the mama in the family would say, "We're all sleeping on the floor. I just want to get my children up off the floor." And she would have four or five children. And we were able to get them furniture to get them not only up off the floor, but the rest of their house furnished.
Beth, when did you get involved with the new initiative post-national?
I think I've kind of been involved throughout the whole time and worked closely with Marilyn since the flood, basically. And what we tried to do when House in a Box was leaving and Marilyn asked me to kind of help out with this was to think about the model that could be used now that House in a Box is leaving. We had a model. We were doing furniture and appliance distribution. So I said, you know, you could adopt our model, use our vendors, and then I'll write partner grants so that we will, I will write grants for large appliances, and then I'll write your grants for furnishings, and that way we'll double our ability to pull down funds. So because I had been awarded money using that model from the 1SC flood fund, I had some confidence that if I went back in with the same model that had been successful, that we would be successful in getting the money for the families, and we were. In total, we got $80,000 between the both of us to serve folks in Clarendon County and in surrounding counties that were in the most vulnerable populations. I wrote one grant specifically for Clarendon County because the need in Clarendon County was so great, and I believe St. Vincent de Paul, you had over 100 families just in Clarendon County that needed to be served. It's been a hard-hit county. They were hit again in Hurricane Matthew. So one grant was specifically for them because Flood Hub have received a grant for Clarendon County and had a lot of people that didn't get served. The other grants were written for vulnerable populations, one for elderly or disabled households, and another for single-parent households with multiple children. And we were just told to direct those funds to the more coastal counties in the regions that had been hit again by Hurricane Matthew. Because when the 1SC flood fund opened again, they did emphasize that they were really looking to serve counties that had been re-impacted in October of 2016 by Hurricane Matthew.
As someone who's worked in this now for over a year, what did you see as far as those counties that got re-impacted?
I know that we were working and we're still delivering things to Clarendon County when Hurricane Matthew came through. So we got calls from some of the people we were working with that they had a lot of people that were without power for a long time, without electricity for a long time, completely reflooded, out of food because nothing was open. And not just in Clarendon County, but in Orangeburg County was very bad. Around the Florence area was very bad. And then, of course, what happened in Marion County with the Little Petey River overflowing. And we heard a lot of those stories of people that were either beginning to rebuild, rebuilding, or had already kind of been back in and reestablished, that basically lost everything for a second time.
And I want to ask Marilyn, there was a lot of uncertainty the last time we talked. And for you, as someone who has been working in the relief efforts now for months, how has it been in the past fall and months that you saw things kind of start to come together, even after having to essentially start over as a different organization?
Well, when we started this, Laura, we had no idea how to do disaster relief. We did not know how to be a caseworker and the questions to ask and where to get the money and what people to connect with. By the fall, we had been working about a year in the program, and we felt comfortable that we kind of knew how to work the system. We knew who to talk to. We knew how a caseworker goes in and talks to clients. We were able to get the word out about needing the money. So we felt much more comfortable in this position. This is something we've never dealt with before in St. Vincent de Paul. And St. Vincent de Paul Society is all across South Carolina, and we do react during disasters. However, we've not had one to react to. So we have, as a result of all this, we now have a Piedmont Disaster Chair, a Midlands Disaster Chair, a Coastal Disaster Chair, and a State Disaster Chair, and we have a disaster fund that we are building up so that next time that we have a disaster, we will be able to respond quicker and we will know what we're doing, because now we're able to train our different chairs and then we're able to bring in our volunteers because we know what we're doing.
What's next for you and for St. Vincent de Paul with any relief work?
Right now, we have officially closed down our program from the flood of October 2015. We are now stepping back, taking a breath. We are going over what we did. We're doing training with the different chairs. We are financially looking at where we need to be, where we have been, working with tax forms. So we're taking a little break from actually working with clients, but we're moving on with disaster relief so that we will be ready.
Elizabeth, so what's next for you and Community Flood Hub?
You know, I keep saying that Flood Hub is officially closed, and it never really happens that way because people call us and there's a need and we try to fill it. I think after this grant cycle, we'll look at the situation and see if we want to apply for more grants, because we do have a model that works, that's successful. We have vendors, so there's, you know, we don't really need to stop that. It just depends on if I kind of want to keep doing that. But we will continue to work with others. I will continue to work with others. This is such a long-term process, and we're really only like not even a year and a half out. There's many more houses to be rebuilt. There's a lot more money that's needed. So I'm continually trying to put the word out and create awareness around flood relief, the importance of it, the long-term struggle of it, and just the need for people to not forget about it.
I've just been talking with Dr. Elizabeth Medlock, founder and director of the Palmetto Project Community Flood Hub, as well as Marilyn Gray, Midland's district chair of the St. Vincent de Paul South Carolina Disaster Relief Program. Thank you both so much for joining me today. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Laura Hunsberger.